I'm John DeSando.
I'm Ezra Hoover.
And this is Back Talk. How's a guy like you looking at a movie like Deadpool and Wolverine? I mean, don't you have better things to do? You're a physician. You got a busy life.
Not at all.
What is it then?
Comic nerds like us have been waiting for a movie like this for a long time. There's just jokes aplenty and cameos and guest stars and everything. This is what we wanted. It's chock full.
So were you looking at comic books early in your life?
I was an X-Men guy.
But when I grew up, my dad, who was also a physician, used to buy us 4 comic books every week.
Oh, lucky you.
Because there were 4 kids, and we just loved them. The thing we didn't do was save them.
I didn't either. I didn't have that. My hands were always dirty, and, you know.
Consider how valuable mine would be.
Right. I didn't maintain them at all. The problem was I'd get one for my dad, and I'd have to hide it for my mom because I wasn't allowed to have them.
Deadpool and Wolverine. Let me tell you what attracts me. I'm an old screwball comedy guy. Well, my best example is Cary Grant, Rosalind Russell, and his girl Friday. That quick repartee, when it's well written.
Pitter patter. It's amazing when they have that chemistry, and they clearly have some bromance going on.
Oh,
they definitely have good chemistry.
Oh, yeah. There are very small parts there where they do play on that. But Ryan Reynolds, now we have 2 megastars. Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman.
Right.
How about Reynolds? What do you think?
Is Ryan Reynolds a megastar yet? I'm not so sure.
Yeah. And the other Ryan is.
The other Ryan. The other one is. That'd probably bring me to one of my first criticisms of the movie, Hugh Jackman. I agree. It's a buddy comedy. But he's just a foil for Ryan Reynolds' character. He just plays it totally straight. He doesn't have that room to act, to emote, like in Logan, for example.
Yes.
It almost feels like a waste of Hugh Jackman, dare I say it.
Well, yeah, and he brings a certain gravitas.
He does.
Now, but Reynolds is listed as the top writer.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect he had an awful lot to do with the dialogue.
I'm sure.
And I personally think he's brilliant in his delivery.
I do. I agree. I think he's born to play Deadpool the same way Hugh Jackman's born to play Wolverine.
Wow.
And we have to transition that actor away from the character. It's going to be tough. Whichever actor takes over, it's going to be a big shoes to fill.
And Deadpool reminds him a couple of times they're going to be doing this till he's 90.
Until he's 90. I'm sure he doesn't mind at all.
For me, that's it. The dialogue is everything.
Perfect.
Ezra, I can barely make out the plot. Can you give us a sentence or two on the plot?
Is there a plot? I don't think that. The whole point is that there is no plot. It seems like a whole scheme just to get back at Fox for the treatment of the X-Men intellectual property. You know, I would be, you know, totally amiss if there is any plot at all.
Now, Disney has taken over. Reynolds remarks about that a couple of times.
It's pretty funny.
It's funny.
I get kudos to Disney for a family a company like that allowing a movie like this to be produced.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is so out of their wheelhouse.
It is. It is.
And you were mentioning earlier that you've seen some returns on this and it's not as great as you might have expected.
Yeah, I was interested. I was reading some critic reviews. A lot were positive, but some were kind of panning the movie as just fan service, which I think misses the point. That's the whole point
sure.
of the movie.
That's right.
Fan service.
Well, it is. And it's one where you don't need, although it adds to the pleasure, mm-hmm. to know the cameos.
Right.
But if you don't know the cameos, if you don't know that's Channing Tatum,
right.
You know, who cares? Right. Because even if you knew who it was, it wouldn't be great.
Right. And I did know, I don't know if I've seen every last movie, like Elektra, for example. I didn't see that one. You'll have to forgive me. It's not the greatest movie from what I've heard.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't know, did you know all the references? You feel like it's necessary to enjoy them?
No, I don't. Okay. However, if I were to take the time, I would enjoy it.
Right.
But I'd have to research early or bring a nerd like you along who would say, no, John, that's so-and-so.
Some of them were beyond me even. I mean, they dusted Blade off Wesley Snipes,
right,
who's
Snipes.
Almost 60, I think, at this point. So he's got dentures or something.
Yeah, you're right. He's got what I call Denzel Washington teeth.
He does.
He's got blazing white teeth.
He does.
I first looked at it and said, who is that?
There are whisperings of who's going to replace him. They're going to try to revive that IP. There's talk of Mahershala Ali, perhaps. from The Green Book.
Yeah, sure, I know him. He's great.
That would be nice. It's yeah. a fresh new actor in that
yeah,
costume.
Yeah. So what are they looking for? I mean, come on, Ezra, even something as disjointed as this mm-hmm. has to have some kind of a through line. Mm-hmm. What can you suggest one?
I think it's just purely based on bromance between Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. You know,
okay.
simple as that. And we people pay to see it. They're very entertaining.
They yes, they are.
Content
they are.
Online, and that's basically it. If you don't like that, you're not going to like the movie.
I found more than one reference to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, did you?
Well, when they were facing this phalanx, and then they have a slow mo uh-huh. when they're going toward them. Right. It's just like when they were going over the cliff. I think it was a slow mo. Anyway, so I saw that, and then it doesn't vary very when you have a bromance.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's pretty similar, though. They're obvious in the homoerotic nature of it. They apparently embrace it.
They embrace it.
they really do. Now, my home line on this is the business of friendship and identity.
Mm-hmm.
I find Ezra in most of these superhero films, they're looking for one major thing, home mm-hmm. or family. Right. Guy like Wolverine will be looking for a daughter. You know,
right.
that's always there. Mm-hmm. And they want to get home. And then the other is, and they emphasize it on this, the idea of friendship. Mm. Does that strike you as true here?
Yeah, I think so, a little bit. I almost feel like it's more, again, about thumbing the nose at Fox.
Okay.
But also more, it's a foil to the more recent superhero movies that have become so big and self-important.
Yes.
And over the top in terms of the importance of their missions. This is the opposite. It's a guy who doesn't care about anything. And he'll do whatever he wants.
Yeah. I just had reviewed in Cinema Classics The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
And you're mentioning the dude.
Yeah.
This is a guy who doesn't care about anything.
That's your opinion, man.
I know, that's right, yeah. Reynolds' character mm-hmm. could be somewhat the same. And I guess that's what I like it as an antidote to some serious things that are happening.
Yes, yes.
Versus we don't have to get political, but this is a very serious political business these days.
Absolutely.
I mean, you talk about Trump, Kamala, you're talking very, very serious. So
right.
to me, it's an antidote to that. I can laugh at this. I can see things are going to turn out all right and so on. But
Right. Heavy stuff. It's not heavy stuff at all. It's the opposite. It's very light stuff.
Yeah.
And it's to the point where I think if someone isn't quite as plugged into the franchise, it could be considered a criticism where it matters so little, then why are we even watching this, right?
Yes.
And he, without giving away too much, he even goes to a random dimension timeline and pulls a Wolverine from a completely different timeline. So nothing really matters, right? It's almost like an easy out for the writer. None of this has to be wrapped up because he's from another dimension. You can kill whoever you want, whenever you want.
As he's searching to find Wolverine, first one he comes to is in a bar.
Right.
And you have a little guy. First of all, you see the head.
Yes.
You say, oh, he's found Wolverine. Then he's this little guy.
I love that part because the comic book nerds know Wolverine is actually supposed to be very short. He's supposed to be, I can't remember, 5'4 or something less than that.
Really? So,
yes.
Now that's fascinating.
Yeah, the real interpretation. So showing what that would actually look like is pretty awesome and hilarious. Hugh Jackman's actually way too tall to play a real Wolverine.
You know? Yeah, and he's way too muscular.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yep.
I mean, it depends on how you look at it.
Right.
But for me, it's distracting.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be. I hope to look like that when I'm 50.
Well, but. but that's like, sometimes that's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
I have that feeling when I see female bodybuilders.
Right.
There's a certain point at which it is not attractive to me.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little too much. So, and that's when I find out with him, but that's part of the shtick.
He's a method actor. He's going to do it. He's going to do it.
He's wearing that special Wolverine when he wears that outfit.
Right.
You get it out of the way.
Now, that's a huge deal to X-Men fans, that yellow suit, because that was one of the originals. Not his first one. I'm not an expert in this, but one of his original retro suits was the bright yellow suit, which they didn't have the courage to make him wear in the movies until this one.
Ah.
And then he actually put on the mask, too.
Yes.
This is all total fan service, which is totally fine.
But
just seeing him live that out in flesh and blood with the yellow costume and everything, it's a sight to behold.
And I think when he puts the mask on, Reynolds makes some kind of an allusion to Batman.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And there's where, if you don't know anything about it, you're going to miss a little bit of the pleasure of the movie. It's kind of that broad broad everybody knows if they've ever seen the movie.
Exactly.
That's good stuff.
Right, and they make references to how silly they look, which I like, because the whole thing is, you know, so important. It can be ridiculous sometimes.
Oh, my.
And they know.
Before we get into the history of some of this stuff, and I want to pick you a little bit about X-Men. What's your feeling about women in Deadpool and Wolverine? I'm always excited when Scarlett Johansson's in, and she's not in enough. But what do you think about this?
I mean, that's a great question. The issue is we're bringing back some really retro material, which didn't have the greatest representation of women yet. I'd say the last Wolverine movie, Logan, the main character, you know, his kind of daughter figure.
Yes.
That's a strong female character.
Yes, right.
I think they try to give the female characters, which tend to be pushed to the side, a better interpretation.
Oh, boy, for sure. What about Emma Corrin as Cassandra Nova?
Yes, they are amazing. So they did a great job. This is a character I didn't know about at all, and I'm an X-Men guy, but this is Charles Xavier's twin.
That's right.
Yep, who I had to read up on this.
Oh.
But there are twins in the womb, and Charles Xavier senses the evilness of his twin and kills her in the womb. And somehow she's still born anyway into the astral plane. Very weird stuff.
Cassandra, of course, you know, anytime you use a Cassandra, she's got some prophetic qualities about her. But this actress playing Cassandra, Emma Corrin, reminds me of Tilda Swinton.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
What kind of white thinness.
Right.
I mean, she's a very strange figure.
Right. And the creepiness of this character is phenomenal. You know, without having to do much in the way of visual effects, she sticks her fingers literally into people's heads.
Great stuff.
Really
when
good.
When she pokes him like that, excellent.
Really
yes.
Really good.
Or when she takes over.
Paradox. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Fantastic.
Oh.
And both of those actors, it's hilarious to think about what they did before. So Emma Corrin played Diana in her last big role in The Crown. So imagine going from Diana to this.
Yes.
To this thing. And then Matthew McFadden, who's Paradox, I was introduced to him watching Succession, who is this kind of slimy financial guy. I didn't even know he was British, so amazing actor.
Excellent in this, and the British accent just adds to it. I really liked his characterization.
And if you go way back, he was Mr. Darcy, believe it or not.
Get out!
Yeah, that was him.
Well, you know, I mean, they're actors, that's what they do.
They're fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Now, tell me about X-Men. Now, first of all, Ezra, you have a great memory. I do not have a great memory, but I have a great impressionistic memory. So that's where we differ, and that's why one of the reasons I'm so happy you're here. You can tell us something about this universe, and particularly your interest in the X-Men. What's the deal about X-Men?
I grew up watching X-Men. It was a Saturday morning cartoon, and you'd run over the TV, watch it every week. It was like an event for us.
Yeah.
The original X-Men cartoon is the way a lot of us were introduced to it, and it was very gritty. It had this kind of New York vibe. I don't know if it was actually set in New York, but every character was so deeply flawed. There were these enormous robots called Sentinels trying to exterminate X-Men because they were different. So there's very obvious racial parallels.
Because the X-Men are mutants, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? They're different, and even though they're, you could argue, better than the average human, they're trying to be erased. Destroyed, so they have to hide, and humanity's trying to eliminate them. So it's a much grittier and darker imagining that I prefer, honestly.
I'll tell you one of my favorites, Ezra. Iron Man.
Iron Man, yep, he's a good one. Yep. Not part of the original X-Men.
Right.
But he's someone who, you know, was part of the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Reimagining, which me is much more Disney-fied, more shiny, more cleaned up. You will not find a drop of blood in those movies.
Very good.
Compared to these ones.
In mentioning the flawed characters the X-Men are, best exemplified by Xavier, Charles.
Yep.
Himself in a wheelchair.
Right.
Then we had other characters there, Angel, Beast, Cyclops.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes, lots of fun original characters.
Iceman. We had nothing of Iceman here.
No Iceman.
Yeah.
I think he made a brief appearance in one of the movies.
Did he? Yeah, yeah.
No.
Talk about a plain name, Jean Grey.
Grey was a really interesting character. And there was a saga called the Dark Phoenix Saga. They did make a movie about in 2019. And poor Sophie Turner, people probably know her as Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. That was her first big role.
Okay.
And it was a massive flop. Poor Sophie.
They
didn't give her much to work with, and a lot of people consider it one of the worst X-Men movies because of the amount of anticipation.
Well, I haven't seen Halle Berry. Talk to me. Talk to me, Ezra.
Yes, form, right? Well, I had to erase the Catwoman image first.
Oh, right.
She was Catwoman.
Oh, my gosh.
She was a great Storm, I thought. They replaced her a couple times, but these kind of minor characters. She's another great, interesting character they could do more with if they wanted to.
Well, I think back to our thesis about women, they haven't yet. But they probably hit their peak for me with Scarlett Johansson.
Dark Phoenix was a great time to do it. You know, that's a strong female character, and they didn't give very much to it. But I think we're getting there.
And the only other woman on the X people is Anna Paquin as Rogue. Do you remember that at all?
Yes, I do remember her. She did a great job, but kind of a boring story, in my opinion.
Okay.
But these are incredibly flawed and almost sad characters. She absorbs life force by touching, by human contact, skin-to-skin contact, which is good for fighting, but in her normal everyday life, she can never touch anyone or she'll, you know, kill them. Imagine what that's like, living with that.
Tell me about what I thought was really dorky. Yeah. Ant-Man?
Is he
really an X-Man? Maybe
that
not.
I don't know. He's one of the Marvel people, but they take lots of pot shots at him during, which I enjoyed because I just hated the fact they made so many Ant-Man movies in the first place. There's so many better characters.
I do love it when he says, Paul Rudd.
It's finally aged.
What a great line. And of course, you get that in the trailer,
right?
Unfortunately.
They ruin it for you.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple of quotes.
Please, give them to me.
Deadpool says, right? He does a lot of fourth wall stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He says, welcome to the MCU. You're joining at a bit of a low point. I mean, this is wonderful.
That's really good. Very self-aware.
I know. And I forgot that Ryan Reynolds is from Canada.
He is, yep. Well, they referenced The Proposal. Did you watch that movie with, I think, Sandra Bullock? That's the movie where he has to fake a marriage with his boss so that she can stay in the country. So.
Oh, okay. Deadpool says, get my country's name out of your effing mouth.
Yeah, right. Canadians.
Disney. Kevin Chipman says, that's Wolverine. And then Deadpool says, you're damn straight it is. Disney brought him back. They're going to make him do this till he's 90.
He's 90, yeah. I love that.
Then I love that. I didn't realize it. He was rejected by both the X-Men and the Avengers. Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. Yep. He was.
And they mentioned it. And Wolverine says, you know what? You're a freaking joke. No wonder the Avengers didn't take you or the X-Men. And they'll take freaking anyone. What do you think, Ezra? I mean, are we making a good case for somebody to see this? We know this is not a family film.
No, definitely not a family. Yeah, no.
It is, considering everything this summer, it is probably the one you would definitely not take anybody under 13.
No, probably not.
Probably.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's worth seeing if only we've been so inundated with comic book hero movies. And this is a new take. It's a brand new take. It's not Thor Part 6. This is something completely different. I kind of like, as an X-Men fan person, I like the attempt at resurrecting all these characters that didn't get a chance. Gambit. There was supposed to be a Gambit movie, I think, with Channing Tatum. They canceled it.
Okay.
Elektra was done terribly. Mm-hmm. I had Jennifer Garner. Didn't give her a chance either.
Yeah, I saw her in this one. She's so darn cute. I can't.
She's not aging at all.
Yeah, great. And she's got that dimple. Fantastic. It's like the Grand Canyon.
She looks the part. She could be great.
Yeah.
Just got to give him a chance.
Yeah. We're talking about a very mature movie. From my perspective, and I was the worst with my kids. I'd let them see anything. Well, one turned out to be very attached to Hollywood. Thea,
okay,
you know, our writer, and that's because I took her to all kinds of movies.
Yeah.
If you're discriminating, which would be anywhere, I'm not, which is discriminating for your family, you'd want to be careful. But if you're interested in language, what do you think about that?
You mean the use of foul language?
Well, see, that's a great point. I am talking about actual use of language, foul or not.
Mm-hmm.
The pacing, the rhythm.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. There's so much witty repartee,
as
you say. And just the back and forth, the timing between the actors is all spot on. I mean, just about every joke lands. So.
Yeah. And, you know, Wolverine being the heavy is less attuned to it.
Mm-hmm.
Than Deadpool,
right.
Who is nothing but a mouth, as they call
right.
it. Exactly. All right, so what do we have to look forward to? What do you think is going to happen in this universe? Do you have any speculation?
I think they're going to try to make a lot more movies, John. A lot.
I know.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
This one was fantastic.
How about Deadpool movie?
There's got to be more, I think. There, yeah. He's just opening so many cameos, and they reference, without giving away too much, but they reference Doctor Strange.
Yes,
they,
yeah.
They reference the Avengers. They reference almost every cinematic universe that's out there now.
Yeah, I forgot about Doctor Strange.
Imagine a Deadpool-Doctor Strange interaction. What would that be like?
Wow. Is Strange have a wicked tongue as well?
He does not. He's the opposite. He's
always,
you know, he's a holier than thou,
oh,
you know, brainiac guy who would probably have no tolerance for Deadpool. That'd be very interesting.
And therefore very exciting.
Yes.
And I think as we began way back with cinema classics and we're now in our podcast, as we look way back, I think you characterized it pretty well as saying that if nothing else, this is a bromance.
Yep, it's a buddy comedy.
It is a buddy comedy.
It
and
is.
We've had good success over the years with that. It's with the exception of Thelma and Louise and whatever, it's usually been the province of men.
Right, it is.
And
these are you know, two very interesting men, I guess, who are very violent. maybe classic men, you could think that way, who have trouble expressing themselves.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Right,
yeah.
And that could be a theme on its own. Both of these guys, one talks too much to hide his emotions, and they do actually show an emotional scene with Deadpool.
Yes, yes.
Right? It's almost jarring, though, the way they just go back into the jokes. You
yes,
know? And
yeah.
Wolverine has a lot of pain also, and they'll disclose why that's happening.
Yeah.
But this is how guys, we fight it out.
Right? Yeah, right, yeah. And I have to say that Deadpool has quite a makeup job. When he has his mask off.
Oh, yeah. He's Whoa. Almost unrecognizable.
Whoa, I know it. And Wolverine is getting older.
Yes,
okay.
Getting older.
We can tell.
Speaking of makeup, I was reading my personal favorite character is Juggernaut, and all his interpretations throughout. They tried to bring back the original Juggernaut actor, and he said no, because he didn't want to deal with the makeup and the suit. Being in the suit is just so awful that he said no.
Yeah.
Didn't pay him enough money.
However, you and I can sit in a lush theater.
Yes.
With great air conditioning,
oh, yeah.
Super sound, big screens. And I tell you, I love it. And I love seeing these. You do not want to see this anywhere but in a theater. What
I
do you
agree.
Think, Ezra?
I agree.
All right.
It's worth it.
Now, Ezra, yes, thank you so much for being here with us. It's the first time, and I'm afraid to say, not the last time.
Thanks for having me, John.
And this was, you made it so easy. I was so happy to have you here with us. And we'll see what comes up. I remember the last time we were together, we saw Dune.
Dune, yes.
So we know where you're coming from, man. You love these.
I do love
epics.
These big Whoa. Testosterone fields. I do love horror, too, though. So
all right.
I'm happy to talk about that as well.
Good. All right.
Backtalk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Backtalk is listed by Feedspot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.